All right, good morning. So we're continuing on. We're doing a 4-week devotional series. So this is week three. And actually, Neil, if you could put up the, I don't know if we have the email slide, but if you guys are not on our email, every day through this 4 weeks, you can actually text that number to get on the list for texting and email. But if you're not on that, I would highly recommend it just because we are sending these out. And the notes in the back, it breaks out the next 7 days. But if you're not on that, highly recommend getting on it. So let's pray and we'll hop in. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We just praise you, King of the universe. And our desire this morning is for your kingdom to come, God, that we need you, that we are in need of you. And would you meet us where we're at today and bless us in Jesus' name? Amen. All right. So today we're going to be talking about going deep in your walk with the Lord. And what this is, I'm just going to start out by saying this, is that our walk with God is very individual because he's a relational God. And so it's going to look different for each person. And so this morning, as we're talking, I'm going to break out just a couple of different aspects. This is not an exhaustive list, but this is a list that I felt the Lord was calling us into this morning. But this is a relationship base. So if we're not communing with God and asking him his opinion and his voice to speak into our lives, this doesn't work super great. So this morning, we're going to explore three aspects of going deep. Number one is the word, going deep in the word. Number two is solitude. And then lastly is community. So in John 1, it starts out, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." So I am a high school graduate. I did not go to college. I am not a biblical scholar, and most people are not. And it's been less and less, I think, as we've gotten into the this century. But for a lot of people, they've stopped at, well, the pastor or the professor is going to know the word, so I'm not going to go super deep. And the Lord calls us to go deep no matter where we're at. He called people that were not trained, right? He didn't call other rabbis. He called fishermen and people of the world. And so the same thing is, as we're going into this place, there's not a requirement for a degree in biblical studies, though I'm sure it helps. It's not required because it allows us to have a need for God of, I am reading this book and I don't know what to think about it. So God, I need you to breathe into this. And the cool part about reading the word is when we're centering our hearts on encountering God, we get to commune with the author of the book that we're studying. How cool is that? That we get to do that. And so that's what we're called into, is as we're reading the word and going into it, that we are communing with the author. And he is the word. So it is him, but he is also the one that formed it. So understanding the fullness and the hope of the gospel is another aspect of the purpose of the word. So the first purpose, what we just talked about, is to know and feel God, like John 1 outlines. The second part is the understanding the fullness and the hope of the gospel, of what did Jesus actually come and outline in the gospel, that he said that he preached the good news before he passed on and came back to life. So the good news is written in the word. And this is from Genesis to Revelation, that we get to understand the fullness of his story. And another aspect of the purpose of it is how to walk in this life until the kingdom comes. So in 2 Timothy, let's just turn that, 2 Timothy 3. I don't know if you have that one, Neil. If I didn't put it on, I'm sorry. So 2 Timothy 3 talks about the benefits of doctrine. So starting in verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And so the word was given to us, the scriptures were given to us for essential doctrine, for instruction in righteousness, and that we may walk and be complete as men and women of God. So there's a laying out for us this book that we can go deep. And this is the time where we can go deep. And I think one of the biggest shifts in my mind when reading the scripture that I was able to go deep in was when I realized that the Bible is not about me necessarily. So when we shift our mind from trying to place ourselves in Deuteronomy or in Isaiah or in the Gospels, instead shifting your mind to what is his story? God, how are you showing up? What is your character and how does that make sense? So when we shift our mind in reading the word to God, let me encounter you and your story instead of, well, where am I at? Where is my name in the Bible? And he's going to breathe on that because he speaks to us. But for us as followers of Christ, if we say, God, where are you and what's your story? He's going to encounter our hearts with that. So that's the encouragement that I would have is as we're going deep in the scripture, do that. So Psalm 119, we're going to be in 119 a lot this morning because it is full of the scripture. So in Psalm 119, 105, it says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. And so as we're walking through this, again, as we're obtaining knowledge by the Spirit, that it lights our paths, that we're able to go deep as we're encountering the scripture. So I'm going to give you a couple of practicals that I use. So again, not a scholar, and I'm seeing this in Declan right now. He's in first grade. He's starting to read. He's starting to write, and it is a struggle for him, and it was a struggle for me. It still is a struggle. When I read and try to retain information or do notes or anything, it is such a struggle. I cannot do it, but my heart has been asking the Lord, Lord, give me this ability to read and understand in my spirit what you're saying, because my mind is not comprehending. And so I just want to start out with that, is that I am not great at this, except through the Spirit. So I'm going to give three practicals today on how I break down the word and go deep in this. So the first one is meditative reading and prayerful reflection. So we're going to go back a little bit in Psalm 119 to 97. And I love this one because it says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. And so this idea that as we walk through life and people bombarding us, known or unknown, right? That when we meditate on scripture, that the Lord makes us wiser than those around us. That we're actually going through this and meditating because we're consumed with our enemies when we don't have the Holy Spirit, right? Do you guys feel that? When you're mad at somebody, it just consumes every fiber of you. You're like, golly, this guy is rubbing me wrong, or this girl is rubbing me wrong, or whatever it is, you know, fill in the blank. But when we allow our minds to go and meditate on his law, on his words, on the inspiration that he has from himself, that it actually takes us away from being consumed by our enemies and yet consumed by the author of all wisdom. So what this looks like for me is finding those moments. Sometimes it's not the same time every day, but if I have the moments, it's taking those invitations. And a great example, do you guys ever like wake up like 4:30 when your alarm clock's set for 5:30? And you're like, oh my gosh, and you just can't get back to sleep. For me, what that is the Lord, every single time, there's the same invitation every time I wake up before my alarm. It says, if you will come and meet with me, I will meet with you. It's the same phrase every time I wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I am so tired. I don't want to do this. But the Lord invites us into his presence and into meeting him when we least expect it. So it's going to be a little fluid. And for some people, I know some people, they've woke up at the same time every day for the last 60 years, and they've had their quiet time at the same time every day for 60 years. And that is glorious because the Lord meets you there, and he also meets you when you don't expect it, when you want to sleep that extra hour. And so that meditative aspect of it, don't go crazy. Don't think like, hey, I got to spend an hour in the Word. Start with 2 minutes. And then the next day, start with 5 minutes. And then the next day, start with 10 minutes. And you might be at 10 minutes for 3 years and then go to 15 minutes. But allow the Lord to meet you when you position your heart to meet him. Amen? Okay, so number two in the Word, and this is going to be hard for some of you guys, but it's singing or speaking out the Word. So as you're reading, that you're doing that. So for me, like I've grown more in my understanding of Scripture when I grab my guitar and I open the Word and I start singing a psalm or something. And then there's something that happens in there of, oh, how I love your law. And I'm like, man, what does that mean, his law? And so then I go to another Scripture and then I sing that Scripture about his law. And it just goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And same thing, when you speak it out, something about hearing it not only helps us retain it in our spirits, but it also ignites something in our atmosphere. When we're speaking Scripture through our homes, it can't help but the Holy Spirit showing up. So in Colossians 3, this is a great one on it. And so we'll turn to Colossians 3 and starting in 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so this invitation of there's peace of God, and when we are singing those spiritual psalms and we're singing the word, the peace of God actually invades our house or invades our work or invades our car. I know a lot of people, they don't read, but they found that if they play, like I think the Bible app, you can just have someone read it to you. Even that, like whatever it takes for the Scripture to be heard physically by your ear and to be infused in wherever you're at, whether it's your home, work, or car. The last one is journaling revelation. So again, very hard for me. I was horrible at taking notes. I didn't realize I was horrible at taking notes until 3 years after high school. And then I saw my wife's notes in college and I'm like, I don't know what this means. So for me, to read something and then write a revelation about it and then read it again the next week and be like, I have no idea what I wrote, right? But again, when the Lord breathes into that, it will be legible and it'll be understanding to your spirit. So don't let your whatever is going on in your physical of like, I can't do this, push through that and allow the Holy Spirit to breathe in it. Because now when I write out of the place of Scripture, I understand it because it wasn't me that got the revelation. I just got to write it down because the Lord gave it to me. So definitely recommend that. Okay, solitude. This is a hard one for me. I hate being alone. I am not an introvert. I gain strength. Neil's raising his hand back there. Yeah. So I just want to start out with that. And I know a lot of you introverts are like praising the Lord on the inside, just hearing the word solitude. So there are two types of solitude that we're going to talk about. So one is a prolonged time of getting away alone and just encountering the Lord. And I'm going to compare that to like Jesus getting called into the wilderness or John the Baptist getting called to the wilderness. And the other one is those little moments throughout the day that I'm going to call micro solitude, okay? And solitude is truly meeting the Lord with yourself, whether it's in worship or Bible or silence. Silence is a great way to do this. But it's meeting us where we are. It's when we are still. It says, be still and know that I am God in Psalm 46. And that is what we're after, is that we can be still. And for that moment, the Lord is allowed to speak into us. So I'm going to say this, and this is a generalization. This is not an absolute. But it seems like in the scriptures that when someone is called into a prolonged time of solitude or away into the wilderness, it's generally a man. How Jesus encounters women is generally where they're at, right? So if you think about the woman at the well, if you think about Mary, it was not this time of like, hey, I'm going to call you away and then I'm going to speak to you. It's Mary is about her life and he invades and encounters her. And so that's what I want to say is, There should not be any shame of, Rory, I cannot get away from my kids for even 15 minutes. I can't even go to the bathroom without little fingers crawling underneath the door, right? Or whatever that is. The Lord is going to call you where you're at in this as well. So this doesn't have to be this over-spiritualized thing where if I can't get away into the wilderness, the Lord's not going to encounter me. No, solitude happens when the Lord encounters us. And again, sometimes it's going to be calling away, and sometimes it's going to be in the midst of laundry. But taking those moments, if we know they're going to happen, we can allow our spirits to receive what the Father is calling us into. This is one of the most overlooked disciplines that Jesus represented, in my opinion. We don't talk about this a ton, but throughout Scripture, you see him stealing away. Sometimes it's moments behind a tree. It says Jesus prayed within the midst of his disciples, but he was just a little ways away in the garden. He could still see them. He could probably still hear them. And sometimes it was he was called into the mountains. And the reason this solitude happens throughout Scripture is an encounter with the Father. That's what the solitude thing is about. It's not about, man, I just need a moment to myself. I need to stop listening to people or whatever. It's not this selfish thing where we're healing ourselves, but it's literally positioning ourselves, not talking, and saying, Father, speak to me my identity. And what happens in those moments is when the Father is allowed to speak and we quiet our spirits, we quiet our minds, that he breaks in and says, Rory, this is who I see you as. This is who you are. And then what happens once we get to hear who we are, we then get to hear who our community is. And again, that falling away, what we just talked about with the scripture of when we are engaged in the scripture and that law is meditating on our hearts, that we become wiser than our enemies. So that noise of these people are against you or you should be mad or whatever, maybe you're the person causing the riff, it's all those things should fade away so that we can hear the Father speaking our identity and who around us in their identity. And this is a practice thing, and I think part of the word that picture that I got this morning about that breakthrough, this also has to do with hearing the voice of God. Because sometimes there's that frustration of like, man, I have been in this time, the last few months, I cannot hear God. There's so much noise going on in my head, I can't hear him anymore. Get away from the noise. Put down your phone, put down all of the things that are distraction, and engage the Father in listening to hear what he's about, that he is He is a light before us. And that we would know, John 10 talks about that, that my sheep know my voice. But the only way that we're able to know his voice is that we stop and we listen and we look upon his face. So a couple of practicals of solitude. Number one is listen. In your times of prayer, stop asking for things and just take a couple of moments and say, God, what are you saying? What are you feeling right now? Because it's got to be this two-way conversation. So allow yourself a few moments to just listen and allow the Lord to speak to your heart, capturing those moments of encounter. Again, for some people, it's going to be in the shower. For some people, it's going to be hiking in the wilderness. And it doesn't have to look the same. So just encounter God where you're at. Number two is make time. So I'm going to be talking to mostly the families with kids right now. There's an author by the name of John Mark Comer. He wrote a book. Oh my gosh, I just forgot the title of it. Ruthless Elimination. Thank you, Kaylee. The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Wow. If you haven't read it, highly recommend it. But in that, he talks about the practicals of him and his wife. They will say, all right, I got this whole day. I got you covered. I'm going to do the laundry, the cooking, take care of the kids. You go away wherever you need to go, Airbnb, in the wilderness, and I want you to have this time. You do not need to feel any shame about leaving. I got it. And then the next time, it's flip-flops, right? And so those practical moments of with your partner or with your work, communicating that to say, hey, I'm going to get away for this day because I need to listen to the Lord. And the cool thing is, we live in Colorado, and obviously right now it's a little cold, but we have camping in our backyard, basically. It's a very cheap thing to do, but it's something that I, like this summer, I was able to get away a couple nights, and just those times of just being out in the wilderness and turning off literally everything. I went through everything. If there was, like, my truck, I parked it way far away. I got away from everything. And the Lord, I heard him so clearly, just sitting in his creation. And that's why I think, like, there are certain feasts where we're called to be outside, because there's something about being in nature and being allowed to hear what the Lord is saying. The third one, which is a big one for me, are car rides. So, you know, I take Declan to school every morning, and then I have about 10 minutes between when I drop him off to when, you know, either going to a job site or going to the office. I turn off everything. I turn off my phone. I turn off the radio, and I just listen for 10 minutes, and that's all I need. It's like, man, I got that every single day. I drive in my car. I can do this. And so there are little moments where we just need to turn off the information, turn off the noise, and allow the Lord to speak exactly where we are. Okay. So the word, solitude, and the last one is community. Easy, Neil. Easy. So community, sometimes it seems like it would be a lot easier to be more spiritual and righteous if we didn't have people, right? One of the things that I hear more than anything, being here in Pagosa specifically, I encounter believers, or they claim to be believers. I'm like, man, where's your community? Where do you go to church? It's like, brother, my church is in the wilderness. I get out there and that's my church on Sunday morning, which is great. Again, we just talked about the solitude, but I'm telling you this, if we forsake the gathering of the brethren, we lose out on the fullness of the body. So you need both. You need those moments of solitude away and to encounter the Lord, but then you need the mess of the body to stir that up, to have that encouragement, because if we go it alone, we will fail. I know that to be true in my life. If I don't surround myself honestly with people that love me and know me, and even people that know me and don't love me, right? We have those people in our lives, but they're both needed. That community is so needed. We were made for relationship. So in Hebrews 10, let's turn there together, and we're going to start in verse 24. So Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. We just talked about them. But exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. And so what that looks like and what that's calling us into is, hey, today is a great day for community, and tomorrow, as we're one day closer to the day returning, it's a little bit more important to have more community. And guess what? The day after that, that means we need to get a little bit closer. And this idea and this problem that we have in human nature is, for some people, because of the hurt, because of the pain, it's when they get to a certain level, and this might be you, when you get to a certain level, we're like, man, these people are getting a little too close. Like, I know a little too, I thought they were cool, but then I spent a little too much time with them, and now I don't like them as much. And so I'm going to go find another group, right? But the call is, no, pursue that. Go deeper into that. If you find yourself being a little uncomfortable or find yourself not liking that person as much as you did a week ago, maybe it's time to go deep. Maybe it's time to have that honest conversation of, hey, brother, I thought this about you. And when I got to know you a little bit more, it, you know, this happened and whatever. But that honest conversation and those hard conversations, that's what actually is going to allow us to go deep. But if we hold it within ourselves and we talk to this brother over here or we talk to this sister over here about, man, that guy is driving me bonkers. And so for us as a community, what is our response, right? Do we listen? Absolutely, we listen. But then we say, hey, it sounds like your issue with this guy or this girl is causing disunity in yourself. And I think you need to go talk with them. We need to go deep as a community. Don't run from this, because that gossip thing, man, it feels so good to get it off your chest and to have somebody else like, yes, that guy is that way. And I can't believe that he's doing that to you too. It's like, no, do not engage your heart in gossip, because it's compared to witchcraft. When we engage in that gossip, when we engage in the hatred of another brother and share that, and we infect somebody else with that, it causes the unity of the Spirit. We're called as the body of Christ. Some people are the head, some people are the arm, but if we don't have everyone together, we can't operate. But we're not going to understand. A hand is not going to understand the heart. The doing of like, man, we got to do. And the heart's like, no, we got to stop and we got to love. It's like, man, you're right. They're both right. But that unity, and we can't break that by allowing gossip and bickering and quarrelsome coming into our body, because we have to be unified. This is such a great revelation that I got. About his character is that, generally speaking, the Lord does not reveal the fullness of his character to us alone. And what I mean by that is this, is that he hides bits and pieces of his character in other people. A great example, I got married. Before I got married, I was engaged, right? And then dating. I thought I had it. I thought I knew what the Lord felt towards me as a bridegroom and a bride. I thought I knew his heart. And I thought I knew what it meant to be married. But then we took that covenant and I stepped into marriage, and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I realized what Jesus' heart was for me. I did not capture that portion of his character until I was in that relationship. Same thing as a father. I didn't understand what it meant to be a father. I thought I knew what the father was to me because I was a son. But then Declan came, and for the first time, I felt what it meant to be a father. Same thing with Breezy. She felt that parenthood, that motherly instinct for the first time. Okay, those are pretty on the surface. But then you have friendships where it's like, I didn't know that people needed to be cared about in their hearts because that's just not something I think about often until I walked with somebody that cared deeply for someone's heart. And then I'm like, oh my gosh, this is not natural for me. And I didn't realize what I was doing until I met somebody that said, Rory, you need to stop and you need to think about this person's heart. They need just a moment of your time instead of a task list. And so there are all of these things of whatever you are, whatever your natural bent, some people are going to say, hey, this is wrong of you to be this way. It is not wrong of you to be this way unless it goes against the scripture, but you are a hand, but you need to make sure that you are encountering a heart in your community, right? If you have a bunch of hearts, nothing's going to get done. If you have a bunch of hands, everyone's going to be hurt, you know? So we need that mix of that community of, hey, we're going to go at this together, and we're going to make sure that we go deep and we understand the character of God by digging deep in what other people have. There's a story about a guy, and he was in Timbuktu. It's a real place, I promise. So Timbuktu, and he's sitting with a couple of Muslim men, and they're arguing. There was this gal that came up, and she was a Muslim, but she was a prostitute, and they're arguing about, oh my gosh, like this, you know, this is wrong, this is wrong. He's like, no, she can choose whatever she wants to do. So these guys are bickering back and forth, and this Western guy was like, no, hey, actually, I agree with this guy. This is wrong. And they both stop and turn to him. They're like, you don't understand what you're saying. We're not arguing for the sake of arguing. We're not arguing to prove the other one wrong. We're arguing to gain understanding of the other one's position. And I have not looked at arguments the same. I'm like seeking them out now, which is not good for the heart, people, by the way. But that understanding of if we're arguing as the body, we don't just say, man, you're right, brother. I want to be done. But instead is I'm going to argue to make sure I understand your heart, and my hope and the trust in community is that you're arguing to make sure you understand my heart. And hopefully we walk out of this with a little piece of a character of God that we can encounter. Does that make sense? A lot of blank faces. All right, got it. Okay, so practicals. Let's hop into this. So number one in Restoration Fellowship, life groups. If you are not a part of a life group, get involved with a life group. If you haven't found one or they're too crowded, maybe you're the person that's supposed to start a life group. Come talk to me after the service. But get engaged and then commit. Go deep with these people. And what's going to happen, though, in the body of Christ, there are times where we're going to get too big, and there are non-believers that are coming in and say, I want that. Like, man, we're just a little too big, so we can't have you. We're going to start another group. What we actually need to do is say, hey, we're going to take this strong group of believers and we're going to take some of these people under our wings. We're going to engage them. But there's an importance of going deep. The next one is be consistent with the things that you've started. As it gets boring or hard, that's where the fruit actually lies. When we have to go deep, it's the same thing as a plant, is when the water is just a little bit deeper or there's a drought, the roots grow deep and the fruit grows bigger. And so that's the same thing, is if you're finding that it gets hard or you don't like something that's going on, maybe that's the time to engage and go deeper. If it gets boring, you're like, man, I know everything about these people and they drive me bonkers, awesome. Seek the gold that you're missing. Because if that's happening, if that rift is happening, it's probably human, right? It's human nature. And so we need to ask for the heart of God to draw us into where the fruit is. And the last thing is, do not forsake the gathering of the brethren. And so that's this morning, that we're here, this church thing. We're not just here to hear whoever's got the mic talk about another revelation. The most important things are just a little bit after church, or the shaking hands in the middle, or checking in on how we're doing, and worshiping together, right? When we worship together, there is something that that the Lord loves about that, when we're lifting his name as a unified body. It's great when we're worshiping alone or with our family, but when we get to engage with brothers and sisters in that worship or in reading of the scripture or whatever it is, there's something that the Lord allows to go just a little bit deeper in a little different way. This morning, we were talking about prayer and just that need for the Lord, that all of these things, like, I don't want you guys to walk away of, all right, I got my task list, and I'm going to do those things, and then I'm going to get deep with God, right? That's not what we're talking about today. What we're talking about today is we need to recognize our need for God. When we engage in the scriptures, we need his word to infuse our spirits to understand his heart. We need the solitude to hear the voice of the Father. We need the community because we can't do it alone. We can't understand the fullness of who he is. And so for the last couple years, and maybe it's a season, maybe it's not, but the Lord keeps calling me back to the poverty of spirit, that poor in spirit in the fear of the Lord. And I think it's vital for us in the end days, as we have the day approaching. Again, tomorrow is going to be closer than today, and today we're closer than yesterday, right? And so we're coming into the day of the Lord, and we need him. We have to get into that place where the prayer is when we wake up, and it's 4:30, and I want to sleep till 5:30, is, God, I need you, and I am in need of you, and so I'm going to position myself to encounter you today. Not tomorrow, today. Today is all we have. So this is not a task list. This is an invitation saying, where do I start? Same thing with scripture. I can't tell you how many people, how many believers that have been in the church the whole lives last year, when we talked about scripture, they're like, honestly, Rory, I don't even know how to study the scripture. Where do I start? The only biblical experience I have is the pastor says, turn with me to Hebrews 10, and then I turn. I have never read the Bible before. Their whole life, 40 years in the church, and they've never studied the scripture. That's okay. If that's you today, we can help you with that. Start in Matthew. Start in the Gospels. Be simple. Learn about Jesus and allow the word to infuse you. When you guys start to open this for yourselves and not pick and choose, the Holy Spirit breathes truth into your hearts. And that's what we're after. It's a need. As we get deeper into this, it creates more of a need, not less. So that's the encouragement, is to go deep in the place of need. We were made to go deep in the Lord, and it's oftentimes an uncomfortable place. So a couple of practicals. I know I'm giving you guys a lot of those today, but that's what I want out of this, is that there is a list of items, and then you have the need and hunger that comes from the Lord. So this week, we have the 7-day devotional in the back. Grab one of those, get on the email list, but open your Bible every single day this week, no matter what. And it's okay if you play it in your car and someone else is reading it, but get into the Word every single day for 7 days. Is that reasonable? Yeah? When we do this, ask the Holy Spirit for revelation and ask for hunger for the word and for the place of prayer. And again, if you don't know where to start, start in Matthew 1. It's a great book. Okay, number 2, get some solitude. And this can be this week, this month, but just get some time, whether it's waking up 15 minutes early, getting out of bed when you wake up before your alarm, and let's start with 5 minutes of prayer and meditation. Okay? And the last one, get vulnerable with your people. So if you're not in a life group, find a life group. If you can't find a life group, start a life group and get deep. So if you are one that kind of just sits back and listens or engages in these bunny trail conversations, maybe stop and you guys do a check-in of like, hey, I'm actually not doing well this week. Or even better, I'm doing great this week. The Holy Spirit gave me this revelation when I finally cracked the Bible. And this is what he's been showing me. But be vulnerable. If you are not usually, I'm inviting you into that vulnerability this week. All right, Mark, I'm going to invite you up. All right, let's stand. So my prayer for myself, for my family, for you guys this week is to have a need for God and to have a hunger for righteousness, which encompasses the scripture and prayer and worship and solitude, that when we get into this place of understanding who we are because the Father has spoken to us, that's when we can go deep. And that is our desire. We are kingdom people, and kingdom people are ones that push through in the spirit, that we are here to encounter non-believers with the gospel, the fullness of the gospel, that his kingdom is coming, and we want to be ready. We want the oil in our lamps, and the oil comes from intimacy with God, the Father. So, as we end, I'm going to invite the ministry team up, but I just want you guys to close your eyes, if you can, and just get into a posture of receiving with our hands open. So, Father, we thank you that you desire a relationship with us. You desire to draw us into deeper waters. Jesus. You said you were sending a comforter to draw us deep. And we just ask for your presence today. Would you give us the gift of hunger today? I just pray for eyes to be open and for ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the body. Father, would you encounter us in your word? Would you encounter us in solitude? Would you encounter us with our people and help us go deep? Thank you, Jesus. You guys need prayer for anything, healing, for hunger, for wherever you are. We're going to have a few people up here. Loves, if you wouldn't mind praying, or George at least. And let's see. Jerry, could you come up? That'd be great. And we're going to just spend some time in worship. So just engage your hearts. We're going to spend 2 minutes, and then we'll circle back up.